Days passed without any trouble, though they grew alert for it as their old instincts began to reassert themselves. Making their way through the rugged terrain toughened old muscles, renewed long unused reactions. While they could not slough away the years, the constant exercise restored the spring to Mudge's step and caused the ring around John Tom's middle to evaporate. Man and Otter found themselves striding along a little easier, a little straighter. A cloying dampness clung to everything. Fortunately, there was one strip of reasonably dry, solid land that coiled more or less southward. Had it not been for that fortuitous pathway, their progress would have been slow to a crawl. It was even conceivable they would have been forced to turn back. To encounter a bona fide gate in such surroundings was something of a shock. Not that it was much of a gate. A single, large, peeled pole lay balanced on two posts, blocking the trail. The left post boasted a crude pivot and counterweight, whereby a gatekeeper could raise the barrier to pass travelers beneath. As Man and Otter considered the gate, a decidedly overweight Ratal, clad in light leather armor and carrying a two-pronged spear, emerged from the larger of the two huts. A three-foot-tall shrew in baggy clothes scurried along in his wake.
Halt where you stand!
John Tom and Mudge obliged.
What have we here now?
The Otter stared evenly at the gatekeepers.
This be the Baconian Road toll gate, traveler. Those desirous of passing this way are assessed 1 gold piece per person.
With a sweeping gesture, the Ratal indicated the surrounding inhospitable swamp.
As you can see, and as you must know by now, there is no other suitable path.
On whose authority do you demand this payment?
The Ratal blinked as though the answer were self-evident.
Why, on our own authority. We caused this gate to be built, and we maintain it, as we do this portion of road.
Why should we pay you anything?
For time and efforts, of course. 1 gold piece each, or you do not pass.
Like all his kind, the Ratal looked sufficiently ferocious, but John Tom overtopped him by a considerable margin. Once you got past the shrew's intimidating face, the rest of the rodent was decidedly unthreatening.
Doesn't look like much to me. A pole, a couple of posts, some hardware?
Ah, but there is much you are not seeing. For example, there is the cleverly concealed trench, whose bottom is lined with poison-tipped stakes. Then there are the individual deep pits, which are filled with a carnivorous moss that grows in the hollows of certain swamp trees. It will grab you and suck you down to a horrid demise. And behind these lie a second concealed ditch, not as deep as the first, but wide and difficult to cross. Lastly, there is the hidden moat pool stocked with Zazapa fish, which we have collected at great risk to ourselves. Should you stumble in among them, they will strip the flesh from your bones before you can turn to swim clear. And should you somehow manage to pass over and survive all that, which is very much doubtful, you would then have to deal with us.
Far be it from me to tell anyone else their blooming business, but it strikes me as how you two might do well to give a thought to considering another line of work.
Without warning, the enraged Ratal whirled to smack the shrew across its long, narrow muzzle.
You idiot! I told you this wouldn't work!
The shrew held his ground, inclining his head to glare up at his enraged associate.
Don't at me, El! Your damned execution of the idea, was it?
I admit there were ramifications I failed to consider.
Time we were on our way. What's the lay of the land we're about to pass through? Green fields and deep, clear streams, right?
Green, anyway. What would be your intended destination?
We don't really know, Gov.
The Otter eyed the drifting nimbus of notes.
We're sort of following the muse, you might say.
You've come all the way from the Tailorome? No, from beyond the Tailorome? Simply to see where a bit of wandering music might lead you?
Blimey, that's us. Putting our lives on the line for no specific reason whatsoever. We've practically made a bleeding career of it.
My Shortford friend is a natural pessimist.
It comes from the company I keeps. Wandering spellsingers ain't the most sensible of traveling companions.
Are you truly a spellsinger?
I am.
I would give a great deal to see such a wonder at work.
Well, that's easy enough.
He reached back for his Dewar.
Oh, mate! Are we giving out free samples, no?
Just something simple.
Feeling expansive, he strummed idly as he considered Femblock. Femblock's thoughts were churning.
Perhaps if our gait was more impressive. Not threatening, you understand. If it just had a little more presence, travelers might be inclined to support our efforts here out of the goodness of their hearts. We could also offer shelter and sustenance.
Now you got the idea. This gate's pretty bland. You need something sturdy that looks a lot more grand. You got those tired old go-to-mashu pro blues.
From the start, Mudge kept his paws over his ears. The lost chord swirled about madly like an overstressed typhoon. Tack winced, and even Femblock looked as though he were wondering if his request had been a good idea. A lustrous radiance cast shadows on the Rattal's powerfully muzzled face. With a look of awe and then delight, he turned to watch the spellsong at work. So did Tack, though the shrew had to half-close his more sensitive eyes in order to be able to look directly at the glow. John Tom warbled on, pleased with his efforts, while Mudge hunted desperately for some thick moss with which to plug his ears. Arching over the narrow causeway of comparatively dry land, it plunged into the depths of the swamp on either side. The soaring, curved marble seemed to blaze from within. Leaves of gold fringed the multiple arches, which boasted mosaics fashioned from semi-precious stones. Red, blue, and yellow searchlights transfixed the air above the gate, in the center of which 10,000 twinkling glow bulbs spelled out the words, "Rest Stop." Animated cherubs darted back and forth beneath the arch, beckoning visitors to ease their burden by pausing a while. Flanking this were a pair of prominent cone-crowned turrets. Over each hung a captive dark cloud from which flashed bolts of blue lightning. The pole and pivot had been replaced with a translucent rail composed of strands of neon tubing. This burned so bright it was difficult to look at directly. The glow from the entire outrageous construct would be visible for miles in every direction, even at high noon. Tack shaded his eyes as John Tom concluded his spell song.
A gate, that is.
We are indebted for this wonder. Accept our deepest thanks.
Oh, 'tis incredibly vulgar, ain't it?
Mudge felt a certain pride in his friend's efforts as he eyed the flamboyant garishness.
Maybe I overdid it a little.
Why, you overdo a spell? Not a chance, mate. Just to reassure you, you should know that it suits me taste perfectly.
That bad, huh?
Better you turn back the way you've come.
Blimey, Gav. If we tended to turn back the way we've come, we'd never have gotten nowhere except where we'd already been.
Rattal and Shrew were left to mull this impenetrable profundity as Man and Otter strode off toward the southern horizon.
Tell me truthfully, Mudge. It's not that gaudy, is it?
Oh, 'tis unbelievably tawdry, mate. You can rest assured on that. A grand job. Wholly in keeping with your spell-singing skills.
The glow from the ostentatious gate remained visible off to the north, rising above the treetops.
I tried to keep the lyrics simple. Not that it matters. Eventually the power of the spell will fade. Maybe by that time our erstwhile gatekeepers will have found gainful employment.
Erstwhile? What the hell kind of a word is erstwhile?